All right, very good. Well, if you would, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke is where we were for the scripture reading. Luke is where we will be for the message. There's a message that the Lord laid on my heart from Luke chapter number 10. And he laid it on my heart recently, and then a couple of different circumstances just led me to believe that this really is exactly what he wanted me to preach. So it's a topic that I've covered. I think 4 years ago was the last time I covered it. I looked that up, but it was a completely different message, but the same passage of scripture from Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 to 42. So you can turn there if you would. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. All right. And let's go ahead and read those verses again. We read them once for the scripture reading. We'll read them again right now just before we get into the message. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I've entitled the message this evening, Encumbered. Encumbered. And it's from that word that is found in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. We can picture in our minds what is going on here as Jesus is traveling different places. The Bible is clear that there were several women that God used to really help minister to him and care for his needs and provide for him. And Martha and her sister Mary were two of those women who did that. And of course, they had their brother Lazarus. And they would help Jesus and minister to him. Well, one of the times they invited Jesus over to their house as he was in their area. I'm sure there were many people there. And Martha seems to be one in God's word that was very busy about serving. She seems to be the type of person that, boy, when somebody's coming over, everything had to be just perfect. Some of you ladies can understand that, how that is, how if somebody's going to come over, no matter who it is, boy, suddenly the house has to look unrealistically clean, right? That apparently is the way that Martha was. Everything had to be just perfect. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. She apparently was a hard worker. There's nothing wrong with wanting things to be done right and people to be taken care of. It's good to be a good hostess. But the Bible says that she was cumbered about, and we'll talk about what that word means. Jesus said that she was careful. That means full of care. It's never God's will for us to be full of care about the work of the Lord. Though we should take it seriously, though we should do it to the best of our ability, it should not fill our hearts with care. Jesus also said that she was troubled. That also is not God's will, to the point where Paul in Philippians said that we are to be, we are to have such a calm demeanor about ourselves that our ability to be calm in these situations and stable should be known of all men, right? As the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is listed as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That temperance is something that we should be known for, that ability to just be steady through life's storms. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Well, she wasn't that way. In the face of being temperate, she was troubled. And I want to talk to you about that topic here tonight as her sister Mary seemed to be able to, in the midst of all that chaos, just say, you know what, it doesn't matter what else is going on and what else everyone would think of us. I want to sit at Jesus' feet and hear him. And I want to encourage you that you and I should work hard, but that we should also be careful in a good way, not to be cumbered about with things, and we should be focused on that which is most important. Let's go to the Lord one more time and ask for his help this evening. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Now guide me, I pray, as I preach your word, that I might say what you want said. Lord, as I believe you gave this message to me, and Lord, I confess to you, it does not matter what I think at the end of all of this. It does not matter what the people think. It only matters what you think. And so I pray that you would make it so that you would be pleased after it's all said and done, Lord, so that when I stand before you and give an account for this opportunity to preach, that I will not be ashamed as I stand before you, please. Lord, if you don't intervene, then I will be ashamed when I stand before you. So please intervene in Jesus' name. Amen. Encumbered. The Bible says in verse 40 that she was, Martha, was cumbered. That's a word that we don't often use, but I looked it up in our dictionary, and the word cumber is a verb. To cumber means to load or to crowd. One of the other definitions, and I think this will make sense to you as we think about this passage of Scripture, one of the definitions of to cumber is to make motion difficult or to obstruct. It's kind of like this. I'm not going to do this because it would embarrass me and it would embarrass Caleb. But if I were to bring Caleb up here and use him as an illustration, and I were to jump on his back and say, all right, Caleb, now, you know, go jog 100 meters. He would struggle to jog the 100 meters. I doubt he could jog 100 feet with me on his back, right? He would be cumbered about with me. I would be making motion difficult for him. Or we might even not use an example. This is as extreme as that. We might just say, all right, you have work to do, and maybe you work a physical job, and so we're going to let you do your physical job, but we're going to load you up with different things. We're going to put a bag in this hand, and we're going to put a cup of coffee in this hand, and we're going to put a cell phone on your ear like this, and now go ahead and do your work. You would struggle to do that. Why? Because you were cumbered with other things. There are things that would be causing you to not be able to move very well or to work very well. That's the idea of to cumber something. Now, with that in mind, here's what the Bible tells us about Martha. She was cumbered about much serving. Her service for Jesus, or at least her service with Jesus there, was so much so that it caused her to be cumbered about. It prohibited her motion. It prohibited her from accomplishing that which was most important. It obstructed her from that which was important. And let me show you a couple of things from this passage of Scripture about her encumbered state. First of all, Martha's encumbered state hurt her relationship with others. Think about that for just a minute. Look at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Notice that the fact that she was cumbered about caused her to have relationships that were strained. She looked at her sister, and rather than seeing somebody that she loved, rather than seeing somebody that she was glad was sitting at Jesus' feet and learning of him, she was worried about why her sister wasn't doing what she was doing. And she was looking down on her sister to the point where she was irritated enough, not just that it bothered her a little bit, but she had to go to Jesus and ask Jesus to straighten it out. And you know, sometimes that can happen to you and me when we are serving the Lord. When we're serving the Lord in such a way that we are cumbered about, that we're getting so involved in things that we're losing focus, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the message, what it can do is it can affect our relationship with other people. So let me ask you this question. How do you view other Christians? How do you view other Christians? How do you view other Christians that don't serve in the same capacity or at the same level that you do? How do you view them? Do you view them with a form of disdain or looking down on them, or maybe even a little bit of irritation at them, the fact that they don't serve like you do? If so, then that is a sign that maybe you're cumbered about much serving. Here's another convicting question. How is your relationship with your family? With your family. How is it, husband? How is your relationship with your wife? I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd, so I'm talking to the people who are the workers of the church, and there are others, but primarily the Wednesday night crowd would be the ones that you would consider the backbone of the church. So you're doing the work, you're filling in the gaps where there are needs, and I appreciate that very much. But how is your relationship, husband, with your wife? Wife, how is your relationship with your husband? Mom and dad, how is your relationship with your children? Children, how is your relationship with your siblings, your brothers and sisters? How is your relationship with maybe somebody else in the church that is a family member of yours? How is that relationship? And you might say, Pastor, what does that have to do with being cumbered about as Martha was? Well, again, we see that because she was cumbered about, she was irritated with her sister. Now, here's an interesting thing. Your relationship with Christ will affect every other relationship you have. I want you to think about that for just a minute and mull that over and meditate on that. Your relationship with Christ will affect every other relationship you have. If you have a good relationship with Christ, you will have a good relationship with other people. It's not that you won't have any strife. It's not that you'll never have any problems with other people. It's not that, you know, there won't be things that people do that irritate you. But you will handle it right if your relationship with Christ is right. And if your relationship with Christ is not right, listen, you can be serving all the time. You can be doing all the good things that good Christians ought to do, but you can be like Martha, cumbered about, troubled, careful about many things, or troubled about many things, and your relationships can be bad. You know what that shows? Then your relationship with Christ is not right. Because when our relationship with Christ is right, we're filled with the Spirit. That's really what it is, isn't it? And when we're filled with the Spirit, our relationships are blessed. That's the way it works. So Martha's encumbered state hurt her relationship with others. Here's another point I would have you see, and that is her encumbered state caused her to miss out on the one needful thing. I've preached on this before, but what did Jesus say? Look with me if you would. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, as I've pointed out to you in messages past, Jesus never rebuked Martha for serving. It's not wrong to serve. It's good. So, listen, somebody needed to serve the people that were there. And I would venture to say that Mary probably should have been helping. That's me inserting my opinion into the Word of God. Take it for what it's worth. But Mary at least chose the one needful thing. The others should have been done, but she definitely chose the most important thing. Martha, on the other hand, though she wasn't reprimanded for serving, Jesus made it very obvious that Martha had not chosen the one needful thing. She had chosen something that was good, but not the needful thing. And you know that sometimes when you and I are encumbered about, we miss out on the one needful thing. We miss out on spending that time with Jesus, getting to know him and walking closely with him. And that's, listen, that's what this is all about. That's what all of this is about. Recently, I've been thinking through different things. And of course, our theme this year is back to basics, isn't it? I hope you're remembering that throughout the year. The four areas that we've been talking about, or that I have talked about, that we should get back to basics on, and Bible reading and prayer and fellowship and witnessing, those four areas. But listen, as I think through back to the basics, I can't help but think about what do we do that's frivolous? What are the things that we do as a church that really are not needed? They're just kind of there for activity. And this will not be a new concept to you. I've shared it with you before. But churches can very easily just become a hub of activity. Well, we've got to have this thing, and we've got to have that thing. I mean, after all, we're an independent Baptist church. After all, every independent Baptist church has these things, right? And those things may or may not be good. But the point is, what is all this about? Isn't it that you and I would know Jesus Christ and walk with him and glorify him? Isn't it that we as a church would be his body in this community and bring the gospel to the lost around us? Isn't that what this is all about? And that as you and I grow close to Christ, then we are able to shine a bright light into this world. And as Jesus said, we're able to let our good works be seen by men that we may glorify God through our good works. Martha's encumbered state caused her to miss out on the one needful thing. So let me this evening give you four pieces of advice, all right? We'll be quick with these. I hope you can listen quickly, all right? Four pieces of advice. Number one, remember that judgment is coming. Well, you say, Pastor, that doesn't seem to fit the message. Well, I am your pastor after all, and I do have to remind you of that. Remember that judgment is coming. Someday you will stand before the Lord. Listen, that should always be in our mind. At all times, we should be thinking about the fact that Jesus is coming soon. And someday I'm going to stand before him, and someday I'm going to give an account, and someday he's going to call me on the carpet regarding how I serve. And I want you to know that. I want to remind you of that. Listen, don't walk away from Christ. Don't get away from God. Don't stop doing the things that you know God wants you to do. Why? Because Jesus could come back today. And if he does, you don't want to be ashamed at his coming. You don't want to be ashamed when he comes and he says, listen, I gave you this job to do and you quit. Listen, I gave you this thing to do and you said no. None of us want to do that. We want to be able to say, yes, Lord, and to the best of my ability, not completely faithfully, but to the best of my ability, I was faithful and true to what you gave me to do. And we want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me remind you of this. I know it's tough on a Wednesday night to stay awake, but please stay awake. Some of you are having a little bit of trouble with the old eyelids. They got some lead on the bottom of them or something like that. Don't let that happen to you. Keep those eyelids awake. Man, if you have to, get some toothpicks. Put them in those eyelids. Sit on a tack. That's what some of the guys used to do in college. They put a tack under the meat of their leg, and that way if they fell asleep, the leg would go down, and that would prick them, and they'd get up. I never had to do that, but some guys did. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Look with me, if you would, at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There is coming a time when all of us will stand before the Lord, and our works will be tried by fire. Think about that for just a minute. All of the works that you do every day, they're going to pass through the fire, and they are either going to be burned up or they will be purified. If you and I want to have anything that will last for reward, then we'd better serve the Lord. So keep that in mind. Listen, serve the Lord, remembering that the judgment is coming. And when I think of that, I can't speak for you, but when I think of that, I think, Lord, I need to do more. Lord, I need to do more. There's more that I need to do. Lord, I want to be rewarded in that day. I long for the Lord Jesus to look me in the eye and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I can't tell you what that does to my heart to think about that he might say that. And listen, what it does to my heart to think that maybe he won't say that to me. Maybe the Lord will stand me up and line me up with others. And maybe the person in front of me, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the person on my left side, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But he'll look me in the eye and say, Mike, I could not say that to you. Man, that bothers me. That ought to bother all of us. Shouldn't just be because I'm your pastor that bothers me about me. You ought to have that desire. That Jesus would say that about you. Think about how ashamed you and I will be if he passes us by. Our heads will hang in shame. If he says, I could not say that to you, wow. Remember, there's a judgment coming. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. The second piece of advice I would give you after remember that the judgment is coming is guard against worldliness that leads to laziness in God's work. Guard against worldliness that leads to laziness in God's work. Matthew 6 and verse 24. There's a reason, by the way, that I worded the advice that way, and I'll explain that to you in a minute. Matthew 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon, we know, is wealth, riches. We know that as a passage of Scripture where Jesus is trying to help us to understand where our treasure is, our heart will be also. So we should be using the riches that God gives us and investing in the kingdom of God. And we can't serve riches and God. It's one or the other. But the principle, regardless of whether we're talking about riches or something else, the principle is still there in all things. You cannot serve two masters. Period. You can only have one master. So the reason that I gave this piece of advice to you is guard against worldliness that leads to laziness in God's work. Because as we think about Martha, and she was cumbered about much serving, and we think about that, the temptation would be for us to go, okay, well, I think I'm cumbered about, and probably many of us are. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm just going to shed this thing, and I'm going to shed that thing, and I'm going to let somebody else do this, and I'm going to let somebody else do that. And here's what we then do. We then encumber ourselves, instead of in the Lord's work, we encumber ourselves with worldliness in its place. I want you to guard against that. If you are going to say, I'm cumbered about much serving, I'm doing too many things in the Lord's work, and it's causing me to not be able to focus on the one needful thing, that's fine, but don't then take up something else, which in our American culture is awful hard. There's a game that my son Daniel bought years ago, and it's from somewhere in Scandinavia, one of the Scandinavian countries, and it's called Clask. I know some of the people that are Daniel's age have played it because he's played it with them. But anybody other than the group in Daniel's age, anybody know the game Clask? K-L-A-S-K? Good, you're Americans. It's some kind of Scandinavian game, I don't know. Similar to air hockey, but it works with magnets, and you have a piece underneath the board that's magnetic, and you're moving your piece, and you're trying to get the little ball into the, almost like the goal of the other side, right? So, and you can't move past the center. So similar to air hockey, okay, if you can think of it that way. But these magnetic pieces that you have a piece underneath that's magnetic, and then you have your little pawn on the top that's also magnetic, so as you move the one on the bottom, the one on the top moves with it. Well, because it's magnetic, one of the things that the game has is it has these little balls or little magnets that sit in the center court, if you could call it that, and you want to avoid touching those because if one of those latches onto your pawn, that's a bad thing. If you get two of them, that's a point for the other team. And, you know, in our world today, if we have any kind of a vacuum in time, have you noticed that our time vacuum usually gets filled up with something? Nature abhors a vacuum, and so does your schedule. Something usually fills it up. So my advice to you is guard against worldliness that would lead to laziness. Laziness in the Lord's things. In other words, if you're going to be doing something, do it for the Lord. Isn't that what God's word tells us to do? Shouldn't we do all things to the honor and glory of our Savior? So if we are cumbered about much serving and we're going to offload something because, boy, I just can't handle this much and I'm losing the focus on what's important, then, okay, then allow that time then to be filled with something godly. Don't then sit at home and watch the latest movie that came out. Listen, what a shame that would be if we'd stop serving the Lord and then we'd just go home and watch television. Right? The world's things. What a shame it would be if we would stop doing the Lord's work and we'd then take on some other activity that's just, may not be evil in and of itself, but it's just a worldly activity. Listen, if we're going to do something, if we're going to try to fulfill the command here of the Lord, then shouldn't we be like Mary and sit at Jesus' feet? But I wonder how many Christians today who use the word balance a lot, and I use it a lot, by the way, so I'm preaching at myself here, who use the word balance a lot, well, I don't want to get too encumbered in the things of the Lord because I've got to stay balanced. I wonder how many of them spend time at Jesus' feet. Or by balance, do they just mean I need a measure of worldliness to make my life complete? That's a little convicting for me. I don't know if it is for you. Maybe this message is just for Pastor Weiss. I don't know. But guard against worldliness that leads to laziness. Number three, the third piece of advice, keep the main thing, the main thing. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Philippians chapter 3, turn there with me if you would. Philippians chapter 3, keep the main thing, the main thing. In other words, what is the main thing? Philippians chapter number 3, I wish I had time for all of the verses, but we're going to start with verse 7. Philippians 3 and verse 7, but what things were gained to me, Paul says, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said that the main thing was to know Christ. Keep that the main thing, that our life would be about knowing Christ. That is what is most important. So the first three pieces of advice, remember that the judgment is coming. Guard against worldliness that leads to laziness in God's work. Keep the main thing the main thing. And then lastly, for the fourth piece of advice, don't put an emphasis on the praise of men. Don't put an emphasis on the praise of men. When we're talking about not being cumbered about much serving, you will have people who will look down on you one way or another. And you know what? That for all of us, that is a bother. Some more than others. Some of you might have a tendency to say, oh, well, that doesn't bother me. I think deep down it probably bothers you more than you want to admit to everyone else. But we all struggle a little bit with wanting people to think well of us. But we shouldn't really be highly concerned with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting the respect of people who really, truly love and know the Lord. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Remember the first point? The judgment seat of Christ. That's what's important. I was reading, some of you were reading with me in the Bible reading schedule. Those who are super spiritual were reading with me in the Bible reading schedule. Those of you who are doing your own thing, you're rebels. I love you anyway. All right, must I fetch water out of this rock for you? No, I'm just teasing. All right, John chapter 12, if you were following along in the scripture reading. You remember in John 12, what does the Bible say about there were many who believed on Jesus, but they would not confess Jesus. Why? Because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Ouch. Every time I read that, I'm convicted. Sometimes my big concern is, what will my brethren think? What will other church members think? What about this? What about that? Listen, again, it's not wrong to want good people to think well of you. That's not wrong. But we never ought to allow the praise of men to be even close to important, as important to us as the praise of God. That is what is important. I'm reminded of Proverbs 29 and verse 25 that says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. You know, when you and I are concerned with what men think, we're snared. We're caught in a trap. We can only move as far as people and their opinions will allow us to move. And that's not what's important. What's important is God's opinion. And then, look with me, if you would, at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, here's another passage of scripture that you were reading if you're following along with the scripture reading. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord. What's that next word? Cursed. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You know, there's a curse upon us when our strength is in men, when our heart is departing from the Lord. When we're not concerned with what God thinks, we're concerned with what people think, there's actually a curse upon us. Wow. That's a bad thing, isn't it? So let me encourage you, don't put an emphasis on the praise of men. Serve the Lord. Be like Mary in that way. Now again, my personal opinion is, yeah, Mary probably should have helped a little bit more. But I guess my opinion doesn't matter because Jesus didn't say that, did he? Jesus said, she's chosen the one needful thing, and I'm not going to take it away from her. You know, that is an important thing for you and me to remember. It only matters what Jesus wants. So let me encourage you, serve him. Now, serve him. There's a judgment day coming. Don't let that be an excuse for worldliness. Don't let that be an excuse to just fill your time with frivolous things that will burn up on judgment day. But don't be so cumbered about much serving that you forget the one needful thing and your relationships are destroyed. Because as you walk with the Lord, as you sit at his feet like Mary did, as you seek God's face, you know what will happen? Really, the truth of the matter is, if I'm spending time with the Lord, I'm going to end up serving. Because when I love him, I'm going to want to serve him. And when I spend time with the Lord and I fall in love with him, you know what? I'll have good relationships because when I love him, I'm going to love people. It's just, you can't get away from it. It works that way. So all things are fixed when we spend that time with the Lord. Let's pray, and then we'll let you be dismissed for the evening. Dear Heavenly Father, how I do thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord.